I am Adrien Garcia, entrepreneur, designer, and co-founder of the clothing brand Rayoni. And you are listening to The Bold Way. The future belongs to those who question the established order. But how do you reinvent the rules, create iconic projects, and work that will make history? The Bold Way is the podcast that gets into the minds of those who excel in the field. Fashion, entertainment, food, design, art, or business. Their common points? Hard work, boldness, innovation, and a particular focus on creativity and aesthetics. My mission is to dissect their methods and mindset through long and filtered interviews to give you the keys to their success and inspire you to create your own path. The Bold Way is more than just a podcast. It's a movement that encourages everyone to find their own way, carve their own path, and innovate in their field. The Bold Way is where creativity and innovation meets business. Enjoy the episode. Believe it or not, 75% of you haven't subscribed to the podcast on platform like Apple Podcasts or Spotify yet. If you are enjoying the podcast, I would really appreciate if you could subscribe using your favorite listening app. Your subscription truly supports the growth of the podcast. The more subscribers we have, the higher the quality of the guests we can bring on. Thank you so much in advance. Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Bold Way. Today, I am with Martin Parr. Hello, Martin.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm okay, yeah.
Well, just to put a bit of context, where are we today, Martin?
We are sat in the library of the Martin Parr Foundation, which is in Bristol. This has been open since 2017, and the main purpose is to support and to encourage and to collect other British documentary photographers, and indeed Irish ones as well. And, you know, it's been a great project, and we have, you know, very good program of talks, seminars. We have a big membership. So, yeah, it's going really well.
Why did you settle in Bristol?
I was living in Bristol, and I thought about doing it in London because I used to have an office in London, but I thought Bristol would be better. The property here is cheaper. So a lot of the people who work for me moved down to Bristol. They've been able to buy houses. And it's a very creative city. So all you French people living in Paris, you should anywhere in France, in fact, you should come. Not only could you visit the foundation here and see the shows.
Yeah. What else to do here?
But yeah, I mean, people like Aardman are here, the big animators. And, you know, Channel 4 have an office here. Lots of artists, lots of galleries. It's a very funky, creative city.
Fantastic. Who are you, Martin? Who am I?
Yeah, I'm a photographer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you are in a dinner, you present yourself as a photographer.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do other things as well, like curating and editing and making films, but my main purpose is to be a photographer.
Yeah. What do you stand for?
Well, I'm a documentary photographer, so I guess, you know, I stand for showing pictures that illustrate my relationship with the world over the 50-odd years that I've been photographing.
Yeah. What was your childhood look like?
I was brought up in Surrey, which is a suburb of London. I mean, it's a bit, a bit boring because it's a boring place to live. And I was very happy to get away and go to college in Manchester when I was 18. And then, of course, I'd never been back to Surrey to live at all. So, yeah, it was a bit boring. But because it was so boring, it made everything else look interesting.
Yeah. Or did it shape you?
I don't know, really. I mean, you know, I am who I am. I don't. These questions are too difficult for me to answer.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, you need a psychoanalyst to do that.
Perfect. Okay, let's play a little game, okay? I put some words on cards. I would like you to pick one of the cards and reflect on it. And we'll jump into it.
You can take whatever you want, wherever you want it.
Well, I'll take this one.
Yeah. There's quite a few.
So this one says tipping point. So
tipping point, yeah.
I don't quite know what you mean by that.
During your career, what has been the tipping point according to you?
Tipping point. I mean, you could say that when I first did color in the 80s, that was a tipping point. That was a big moment. That is my tipping point.
Yeah. Is there any other tipping point in your career according to you?
I mean, I don't think of my career like this. I just keep on taking pictures. I accumulate pictures, not only in Britain, but anywhere and everywhere. I don't fall for this intellectual analysis that you're projecting onto me.
Yeah. So you don't see your you don't see your life through your career. You are not striving at making a great career in photography.
Not really. It just sort of happened. I mean, I wanted to be a photographer. I went to study photography. And after I left, I did some teaching. And then I joined Magnum. And then I was able to do more commercial work. I wouldn't have believed if you'd have told me that I do fashion, for example. If you'd have told me that when I was at college, I'd have said, no, that's impossible. It's never going to happen for me.
No way.
So, you know, things have changed and moved. And of course, you know, I have 12 people here. I have to pay them every month. So I have to continue to work and sell prints and, do work within Magnum's brief as well. So, yeah, sell prints and do fashion, basically.
Magnum was a tipping point, isn't it?
I mean, in one sense, yes. I don't like the word tipping point, really.
Yeah. What should I use?
Well, it's just, I guess that was quite a big moment.
An event, yeah, a moment.
A big moment in my life. And, there's a lot of resistance against my becoming a member of Magnum. But in the end, I did. And then I became the president. And now I'm, you know, a big earner for Magnum. So I hope the people that wanted me not in are understanding that my contribution has been quite big.
Fantastic. Let's pick another one. Whatever you want.
I'm worried about this. Critics.
Ah, yeah, critics. How do you take critics? How do you live with critics? And what would you advise to a young photographer or anybody actually about critics? You know, don't care about critics, or you should take it.
I guess the last resort was criticized quite a lot because it was in color. People weren't used to seeing those sort of big format pictures. There's lots of litter in New Brighton. So I guess, you know, that attracted quite a lot of criticism. And then 2 years ago, I got criticized because of my, editing of a book by Gianni Batterini. So, yeah, I've had my share of critics. But what would I advise to anyone else? I'd say, you know, get on. Don't think too much about it. If you stop, especially with social media, which is so invasive and so negative, so if you take too much notice of that, you wouldn't end up doing anything.
Do you look at social media?
I look at Instagram, but that's it. Yeah. I don't look at Twitter or...
Do you manage it yourself?
No, we have Nathan. He's our social media person.
Okay. Fantastic. Another one?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. There's so many.
Have we got to go through that lot?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do that. Okay, that next one then.
Yeah, next one. Let's take this one maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Let's keep it.
Tear it up.
No. Let's keep it for later. Yeah. Medium.
So photography is your main medium. Do you paint? Do you use any other medium to express yourself?
Not really. No. And I changed from analog to digital around 2008.
Yeah.
And of course, once you change, there's no looking back really. Especially, you know, the benefit has been photographing at night, where you can balance the flash and the ambient light so much easier than before. So, yeah, it's that's my... I mean, I have made some films, but I can't really make any more because they take too much time. And, you know, I have myeloma, so I'm somewhat limited on my movement. And, I enjoyed doing the films. I did some idents for the BBC where we made 26 films, which were like a minute long, but they were good fun to do. And I wasn't behind the camera then. You know, we had a good, very good director of photography. And I was just basically the director, which is fine.
Okay.
And I took photos at the same time as well.
Yeah. And are you? Do you write or you don't draw at all?
Occasionally I write. If you look at my site, you'll see some blogs that I've written. But that's about it, really.
Yeah.
Actually, I have a sip of your water.
Yeah.
As you're not having it. You can have coffee. I'll have a go at this.
We had this one already. Excited.
Yeah, I'm still excited when I go out and photograph and see something I like. I've just come back from Iceland, for example. That was very interesting. It's a big tourist destination now, and I have an ongoing project called Small World, a new edition of which is just being published. So yeah, when you see something like the Giza, I was on the Golden Circle, and there's so many people, and it's so crazy. You get excited, and your job is to try and translate that into an image, which is not an easy thing to do, basically. So you do your best to try and achieve that, but most of the time I fail. No, I'm still excited. I'm still excited by photography and what it can do. It's such a funny medium. And, you know, it's so difficult. At the same time, it's so easy because anyone can be a photographer. And as you know, there's millions of people on Instagram and they just take pictures on their phone, load them up. And I guess it's that audience that want to see what other photographers get up to, people like myself. Mm. So it's a very good way of capturing an audience. We have something like 730,000 followers. So I assume at least half of them get to see some of the posts that we put up of different work. We do a different set of pictures every week.
Hmm. What is the most difficult in photography?
What is more difficult?
What is the most difficult?
Oh, getting a good picture is very difficult.
Yeah? There is no shortcut for a good picture?
No, you've got to basically practice and do it all the time. And then once you've engaged with a subject, it's possible you might get a good picture.
Hmm.
But it's pretty difficult, really.
But for example, when you do a fashion photography, mm-hmm. How to create the magic, you know, you got most of the time a very short amount of time. It's very short and
yeah.
You've got to create the magic in a day.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make it?
I just shoot the pictures, basically.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking for, you know, a way of translating the image into, you know, people have got to be wearing clothes. You have a model. Sometimes you use real people. And you've just got to incorporate it and try and make it work. I guess you could call that the magic if you want. But I've just done a book on my fashion pictures, which is coming out in April in Paris and in London, in fact. Mm.
What's the difference between a documentary and a fashion picture?
Well, often they overlap. I mean, one of the trends we have now is that fashion people, you know, actually commission people like myself, who's a documentary photography, to do fashion. It sort of basically livens it up. Fashion photographers are a bit limited. They use the studio too much. I love shooting outside. There's a whole generation, Jack Davison, Harley Weir, you know, Jürgen Teller, who do their own work and also do fashion.
Fashion is to make a living.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
Do you enjoy making fashion?
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy the challenge. You know, it's a problem you have to solve with photography.
Mm.
How do you get an interesting picture with a model in a situation that you've usually chosen?
Yeah.
So in that sense, it's very rewarding.
Yeah. How do you work with brands? Or they brief you? Are you completely free? They point you to make a Martin Parr picture?
Yeah. I mean, I have an agent as well as Magnum who, you know, get me work in the fashion world. So yeah, that's about it, really. It's very simple, very straightforward.
Yeah.
Just nothing intellectual about it whatsoever. You're always looking for the intellectual, you see.
Of course.
Which, well, you've got the wrong person, I'm afraid.
Oh, my goodness.
How many of these have we got?
I've got quite a few.
My God.
Ah, AI. Do you use AI?
No, I don't. No.
Yeah.
No.
Or do you see it?
I mean, obviously, its medical use is very good. And I don't feel threatened by AI that much, really, because you can never get the quirks of an interesting photographer translated into AI yet. I mean, maybe in years to come, they might do that. But at the moment, you need the individual voice of the photographer. And that's the thing that's important. And AI sort of supplements that in a very sort of naive way.
Hmm. Have you tried, yeah?
No, of course not. Why would I bother?
What is your biggest failure?
I don't really have failures insofar that, you know, apart from the fact I miss hundreds of pictures every year because I'm just not quite in the right place at the right time. So I guess you could say that, you know, missing all these pictures that could be great. You know, often you see things and you've got to be there before it happens, and then being there after it happens is no good.
So no big failures.
Afraid not.
Do you see your picture as simple or complicated?
Very simple and straightforward, really. They're very intuitive. You know, I'm trying to capture my relationship to the world through a photograph. That's quite a difficult thing to achieve. That actual formula is very simple and straightforward.
How much does it cost to work with Martin Parr?
How much does it cost to... I do anything from free to lots of money.
Yeah.
So I can't really tell you because every job is different.
Yeah. What do you do for free, for example?
You know, various charity sort of requests that we get. Yeah.
Fantastic.
A lot of them want prints and things, which we often supply. No.
What is the photographer role?
Well, you can't really say there is a photographer's role. My role is to take pictures that talk about the, as I've said before, my relationship to the world through photography, and in particular, I guess, UK. You know, I have a love-hate relationship with the UK, so I can express the ambiguity of that through photography. What's wrong with that one?
I don't like. I think you don't. You're not going to like it.
Okay, let's
have
a look.
Yeah, DNA.
Oh right, yeah.
Yeah, you don't like it.
It's silly, really, isn't it?
How do you progress?
I often take challenges like using a new camera, using a new telephoto lens, for example. I did a book called Beach Therapy. Although I can always fall back on the sort of techniques and the language that I've, you know, developed as a photographer, I'm always looking forward to, you know, ideas that might be different and fresh. And when people ask me to do different things, I might sometimes do it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess that's progress in a sense.
Mm. Or do you, reinvent yourself? Is this the way to reinventing yourself?
Well, I haven't really. I mean, would you say I reinvented myself when I moved from black and white to color? I guess you could say yes. I don't think of it like that, though. It's just a continual, progress.
The future of photography?
Well, it'll carry on because it's such a great medium. Everyone's a photographer. I like the democracy of photography.
Yeah.
I like the fact that you can, get a gathering of followers on something like, Instagram. And I think photography has a great future ahead of it because it's such a good medium and so many people can do it. And that makes people want to see what other photographers have done, such as myself.
Mm. But do you think it's still a career opportunity, or is still we still can make a living out of photography in the next decade?
Of course you can, but you've got to have had really, some obsessive movements. You've got to really be obsessed. Most people fail as photographers because they're lazy. The trouble is, you can get pictures very easily, and they think they're great, and often they're not. So when I do reviews of people's work, they usually have optimistic views of how good their work is.
What are you?
And my job, I guess, is to sort of try and land them back down to reality, and try and work out with them how they can progress and take one particular idea and move it forward.
Yeah. What kind of advice do you give to a younger photographer to progress, especially?
Well, it's the same thing. You've got to find the right subject. You've got to engage with it. And you've got to get excited by it. And then you might get some interesting pictures.
You need to find your subject.
Of course, yeah.
And be obsessed with it.
Yes, and most people aren't.
Your main subject is what?
People, really. And the leisure pursuits of the Western world. That's my one subject.
The only one.
Well, it's the big one. It's the one that embraces everything.
Interesting. I'd like to know how you worked with Jacquemus, Gucci, or Toilet Pepper.
These are all people I've worked with, and it's interesting working with people very clever. Simon from Jacquemus is a very smart guy. And it's great to help him and shoot his recent project in Versailles. Gucci, I had a good run with them, but now they sort of take you in and then they spit you out. So you've always got to be looking for the next sort of brand, if you like. Toilet Paper, Maurizio I love. He's a great guy. We're going to do more work with him this year. These are all people. And, when you work with them, apart from Toilet Paper, they pay you very well. So that's great. It gives me a chance to basically put the money back into the foundation.
Yeah. But for me, Toilet Paper has been a tipping point, no?
What?
For me, Toilet Paper has been a...
Tipping point?
Not Toilet Paper. I mean, doing Toilet Paper. Oh. I mean, I've seen those pictures everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think of it as a tipping point. It's just, he came to me via Damiani, and we got on, and I like what he does. I like his spirit. And we've done some work together. I don't call it a tipping point. You've got this obsession with tipping point.
Yeah.
Is that what your podcast is called?
It's tipping point, exactly. I'm going to rename it tipping point.
You ask everyone about their tipping points.
Yeah, I ask it to my English invitees. Mm-hmm. why they come to you, what are they looking for in Martin Parr? For example, Jack Muse and Gucci, why they
want
you?
I think they're looking for Martin Parr photos, which is what they get every time. It's the only thing I can take.
You are very good at picking name, at title.
Right. Thank you.
What makes it a good title, a good name?
Well, it's got to be catchy. It's got to try and get the spirit of what the project's about. It's got to be original, I guess. That's it. They're the main ones.
Yeah. What do you look for in a new title?
I mean, just something that relates to the subject. Our fashion book is called Fashion Faux Pas, which is quite funny. Just really a connection to the body of work that's going to be in the book.
Easy, straightforward. What has been your best coup or accelerator?
Well, I guess moving from black and white to color in the mid-80s was probably, you know, because that's when I became known, for example, in France. You know, it was taken and shown at the Arles Festival by François Hebel when he was director in 1986. And that had a profound effect. You know, other people then took the show, people saw it, people liked it. So yes, I could argue that was a tipping point.
But how do you find your way?
I just continue working, really. I mean, people write to me all the time, want me to do projects, and I have all my own projects.
No, but what I'm meaning is when you look at your picture in black and white, they are very, mm-hmm. very, very different than what you've done in color.
But I
what has, what has been what has What's happened in your head?
No, it hasn't changed at all, really. Just, you know, I went from basically, I guess, living in this town that I wanted to record to, you know, going to a rundown seaside resort. The photographers are saying, I see a lot of continuation from the black and white to the colour. I'm sorry you don't. But for me, it just seems the next logical step.
Okay. What's your reflection on it? Good artist copy, great artist steal from Picasso.
Well, yeah, that's quite funny. I mean, obviously, Picasso was a great artist. And I don't know, I don't think of myself as being a great artist. I'm just a photographer and get on with it.
Yeah.
I'm not so reflective as you're trying to make me be. I just get on with the next project.
Are you an artist? You are shown in artist institution.
Yeah, I guess I'm shown, and I've had pictures in all these places. You know, MoMA, the Tate. So yeah, in that sense, I guess I am. I can be an artist. I can be a photographer. But whenever people ask me what I do, I always say photographer. I would never dream of saying I'm an artist. Although it does say that on my Instagram account, which I tolerate.
Looks like you are a yes man. Do you say yes to everything?
Not at all. No, I wouldn't have the time to do it. You know, people want me to do talks, workshops. You know, I'm more interested in the ones where they want me to go shooting and they pay you to do that. Because then you get new pictures, which is always a very useful thing to have in your archive. So, yeah, I don't say yes to a lot of things. I just couldn't do it physically.
Yeah, but what do you say no to when it comes to a picture project, a photographing project?
Generally, I do those projects of shooting new pictures, yeah.
Yeah.
Depends who it's for, if they're paying, you know, they've got to pay you. So I'm not going to do it for nothing.
Yeah. Iconic.
Mm-hmm.
How to make an iconic picture?
Well, it's very
difficult.
There's
no recipe.
It's a very difficult thing to achieve. I can't tell you how to do it, because if I could, I'd go on and take lots of them. But, you know, if I get 8 iconic pictures a year, I'm doing very well. So most of them just don't work.
But really, when you say 8 pictures a year, is this true?
Yeah, yeah.
All the rest is...
Not rubbish. I mean, some of them have a documentary value. So they fit into the archive, so I'll load them onto Magnum. But, you know, I've just come back from Iceland, for example. If I got 2 or 3 from that trip that will, you know, keep on working and playing, I'd be very happy.
Mm.
I haven't seen the prints yet, so I do the final edit from prints. So we get 20 by 30 prints away from a lab. I get them all out on the table and select the ones that are going onto the Magnum site.
Mm.
And there I might spot, you know, a picture that has the potential to be iconic.
Why is it so important to create such a big archive?
Well, first off, you know, it makes a lot of sense because I take a lot of pictures. Secondly, you know, these pictures can be licensed, and I use the Magnum site not only to license the pictures, which they're, of course, doing on my behalf, but also to have the pictures there so when I come to do a show or a book, I can go through and edit and put them into light boxes and, you know, create projects, if you like.
You've got 20 person here, working here. What are they doing?
What did you say, 20 people?
Yeah, 20 people.
12 people.
12 people, sorry.
Yeah, three work for my company, you know, as a business, like Charlotte, who just came through, and the rest are working for the foundation. Yeah, there's different roles. We have John, he does the membership. We have Nathan, does the social media, etc.
What is your legacy?
My archive, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you want the people remember about you?
You know, I haven't thought about that.
Yeah.
I'm just a photographer, and you know, I know I've got a big archive, and that makes me happy.
No, I think we already had this one. What are you the most proud of?
Keeping going, basically.
Keeping going.
Yeah.
How do you measure success?
I mean, you can measure success by, you know, how many followers you might have on Instagram, how many books you sell, things like that. But I don't think about it too much.
Yeah?
No.
Do you think you are a successful photographer?
I guess I am, yeah, yeah. And I'm very lucky.
Where do you get the drive from?
Well, I just have this natural enthusiasm for photographing and seeing what's in front of me and trying to translate that into photos in some kind of meaningful way.
Yeah, give me a lesson of propaganda. I heard in a previous interview that photography is about is propaganda, and I think you're good at propaganding. I don't know if you can tell it like that.
Well, not really, because most of the photos we see are, you know, aiming for perfection. So if you look at a travel magazine, everything looks beautiful. If you look at fashion, the young models look beautiful. So my job, in a sense, is to show, you know, what the reality really is like. So it's just what I view, and I take pictures, obviously, of that. And then, in a sense, they're anti-propaganda photographs because they're real.
Do you find it beautiful or a bit rejecting sometimes?
Cool.
For example, when you take pictures of your compatriots, there's sometimes of a bad taste. This is to make fun of them?
It's just to recall what's in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I'm not going out there to make fun of people. I'm just showing things as I see them. And obviously some people recognize that viewpoint. And that's, I guess, what makes people interested in your work.
I mean, your work is a part of aesthetic. So you find the beauty in the bad taste, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I like seaside resorts. You know, they're very glitzy, very colorful, and they can be pretty depressing. You know, like the biggest resort in the UK is Blackpool. It's also the most deprived town in the whole country. So that's an irony that, you know, they're meant to be big and beautiful, colourful, attractive, and yet actually the town is quite run down as soon as you get away from the beach or the promenade.
Yeah, marketing.
When I do books, you know, the publisher usually do some of the publicity. So now I'm doing a whole series of interviews for these two books about to come out, which is the fashion book and the Louis Vuitton book that I've just done. So, yeah. And I'll do a talk here about my fashion work.
But it looks like you are spending like 50% of your time doing marketing,
No. I mean, doing a lot of interviews right now because I've got two books coming out, both of whom have PR outfits that are very effective. So, yeah. And I'm coming over to Paris, 21st of March. Come to the opening.
At the Bon Marché, no?
No, at Galerie Clémentine de la Feronia.
Fantastic. We'll be here. Shock. Do you need to shock to exist?
Not really, no. I mean, I'm not interested in shocking people. Some people might find it shocking when they look at things like the New Brighton pictures with all the litter. But that's the middle class people who got shocked. People in Liverpool weren't shocked when we showed it there because they knew what New Brighton looked like.
But it looks like in your work, shocking has been a way to emerge.
No, I think that's wrong. No, I don't agree with that.
What do you see in the viewfinder?
Oh, what's in front of me?
How do you compose?
It just happens naturally. You know, sometimes you have things in the middle, sometimes you have, you're using the edge a lot more. Just depends on the situation, whether it's busy, whether it's simple. you know, you're looking for sort of patterns, if you like, in society and the things in front of you, because they often make good photos.
There's no technique.
Not really.
Just
no.
Experience. What is your routine? What does your day look like?
Well, if I'm not away on a job or something, then I'll often be in here, except not at weekends. And there's always something going on. People are interviewing me. You know, we got 9 people coming around lunchtime to do a tour of the foundation, etc. There's always something to do.
Okay. What are the 3 most important photographers for you?
Well, I guess Tony Ray Jones is one, Gary Winogrand, and, you know, something like Walker Evans or one of those classic sort of people. But, you know, Tony Ray Jones, do you know who he is?
Yeah.
Yeah. He was a big influence on me. He did a wonderful body of work in the late 60s. So, yeah, I'd elect him. And Winogrand, I love, you know, always love Winogrand.
Fantastic. One last question. Who would you like to listen to in this podcast?
Who?
Yeah.
What music?
No, on music or...
Photographer.
Yeah, a photographer or on the creative industry.
Oh, I haven't really... What do you mean? You want me to say someone?
Yeah, somebody you would like to listen to.
Mm-hmm. I can't really think of that, actually. I mean, maybe Thomas Struth. I've never heard him talk. So it'd be interesting to see what he's got to say. I've never met him.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Martin.
Okay, thank you.
Have a lovely day.
That was delightfully short, right?
Yeah, this is what you wanted,
half
no?
Half an hour, yeah?
Yeah.
Good. How do you earth do you make it last 2 hours?
My name is Adrien Garcia, and you've just listened to The Bold Way. Find this episode in text and pictures at theboldway.fr. The Bold Way is where creativity and innovation meets business. Thank you for your trust, and see you soon for a new episode.